I've already forgotten everyone's name. Do you see what you've done?
That's fine. Okay, go.
No, what? No.
I'm mean.
No, seriously.
I'm paralyzed with fear now. Just do the fucking beginning, please.
Now broadcasting the webcomic Beacon.
Welcome to episode 116 of the Webcomic Beacon here at webcomicbeacon.com. I'm not the host today, but I'm Fess of PSIwebcomic.com. And with me, we're going to start up with Mark Savory of AutumnLake.com. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
It's me.
Yeah, it is you. And our main host today, at least, is Tanya Higgins of DaisiesandShit.com. Welcome to the show.
Hello.
And of course, we are hosted on the Rampage Network, a webcomics hosting and community site at rampagenetwork.com. And just to let everybody know, Rampage Network and the Webcomic Beacon will be having a presence and a table at the PenguinCon convention on April 30th to May 2nd in Troy, Michigan at the Marriott. And you can come and check us out. And I will have, hopefully, t-shirts for sale as well. You can pick up your own black Becky t-shirt because finding a dark teal isn't really all that easy. Hopefully I'll have those printed up and ready to sell at PangoCon, and you can see us there, check us out, and buy some shirts. And now, Tanya.
Oh, that's a horrible, horrible, like, Passover.
Well, I'm sorry, but I did tell you to start the show.
You're doomed. You're just doomed. You're doomed.
I'm doomed. I came in late is the problem, because I was trying to hook up the new thing.
But that's nothing new.
I don't even know what everybody wants to be, like, called.
Well, when I grow up, I want to be an astronaut. That's what I want to be.
When I grow up, yeah, like, that's going to happen.
All right. Now, the sad thing is that this is technically the skeptical comic episode of the Webcomic Beacon, and that suggests that I should have my shite together and be scientific and skeptical and those things. But today we have with us the creators of the two skeptical webcomics that I read regularly. Tree Lobsters. Is Steve good?
It depends on what you mean by good, I guess.
Can we call you Steve?
Can I call you Steve, or do we need to edit this out later?
Steve's fine.
Like, I'm fucking editing this out, yeah.
So take Steve that. From Tree Lobsters, and Jeffrey from Ape Not Monkey.
Hello.
All right, you guys are going to have to help me out. You're clearly more together than I am, as evidenced by the fact that both of your comics update. the one question that I've been getting from people when I talked about this podcast in specific, over and over and over, I'm asked, how much hate mail do you get? It's automatically assumed that if you're talking about any sort of skeptical subjects, that you are, in essence, stepping on people's toes for a living. So let's start with Steve. Do you get any recognizable hate mail? And if so, what subjects?
I get almost no hate mail. Most of what I get is email saying, that's not a tree, that's a shrub. beyond that, nothing else.
So it's a skeptical analysis of the vegetation.
Yeah. Everybody seems to think that the shrubbery that I use is some sort of
shrubbery.
Thorn or something like that, and it's not. I don't know what it is, but it people think it's, what is that, thistle or something like that? I don't know. A lot of chatter about foliage.
All right, so...
But no, not a lot of hate mail.
Except by botanists. Okay, so...
Yeah.
yeah, you know what? I wouldn't really call that a tree either.
It is a bit. It's
a
green.
Bush, if anything.
There are leaves.
There are, but I mean, leaves are not a tree that makes.
there are lobsters in it. I think at the point that we're now sniping about what type of foliage it is, we've missed the overall
shrubbery.
Okay, now Jeffrey.
Yeah.
Your comic steps pointedly on religion more than anything else, I would say.
Yeah.
So surely, from what I hear, you must be getting reams of hate mail on a regular basis. Is that true?
Well, I think my situation is similar to Steven's. I don't get a lot of hate mail. I get a lot of it is mostly support mail, and then I think the some mail that I get where people disagree with me are more like, well, you're going to go to hell anyway, and I'm comfortable with my religion, so you know, just letting you know, it's so, the type of mail that I get.
Not so much hate mail as disavowal of responsibility for your soul.
Mostly, yeah. Informational.
Informational. It's good. It's good to know your eventual direction.
Yeah.
Now that I've actually plunged in way farther than I needed to go, I'm going to back up because we can do that and ask each of you to kind of give a quick encapsulation of what the comic is, what it means to you, and how it started. So again, we're going to start with Steve.
What the comic is, it's basically a photo talking head comic. Two lobsters sitting in a tree talking about stuff. And what does it mean to me? I don't know. It seemed like a good way to get girls.
Is that working out for you?
Well, let me tell you, it doesn't.
Webcomic people get all the chicks, right? Am I wrong on that?
Webcomic chicks seem to get a lot of chicks. I can't speak for the men.
Okay. True. I can't do much about that.
Not in my experience. It hasn't worked.
Started. Well, actually, it started off as a joke. Someone was talking about these insects called tree lobsters. I think it was Bug Girl on Skepchick.
Uh-huh.
And I made the joke, hey, wouldn't it be funny if there were a webcomic called Tree Lobsters? And so I kind of put together a site saying, you know, this is Tree Lobsters, and this is what it would look like if one existed. And now it's like a year and a half later, and I'm still doing it.
It's like one of those great ideas you get, ooh, I'm going to buy that URL and maybe do something with it, you know.
And the next thing you know, your life is gone and you have no free time.
Yeah, it's like, how did I get sucked into this? Yeah, it was like Bug Girl put up this story about these insects that were thought to be extinct and they were called tree lobsters. And then I started talking about the, hey, wouldn't that make a funny webcomic? And then Amanda on there said, hey, you should keep doing that. And next thing I know...
Well, and Amanda, for anyone who doesn't know, Amanda on Skeptic does have magical powers. It seems that whenever she says anything, hey, you should do this, it just happens. I think we all have this bizarre drive to please Amanda.
Is that it? Okay. So
I think it
is for the girls then, yeah.
Yeah.
I guess it was.
It's just for very specific ones, yes.
So yeah, that's my story.
All right, what about you, Jeffrey?
Yeah, what's your excuse?
What's my excuse? How did it start? Well, I'm kind of a guy who's interested into politics, and I've always been, you know, sort of a skeptic and an atheist, and I've also always been into cartooning, and so I thought I'd, you know, try and come up with a comic strip and combine the two and see where it goes and spread the word on skepticism and science and things like that is kind of the idea behind it.
Okay. So what does it mean to you?
What does it mean to me? That's a good question. I think it means that, I don't know. I guess, well, I kind of, part of it was, so I have a full-time job that makes me the money. And then I sort of didn't want that to be, you know, the only thing I've done, you know, in this one life that we've got. So I thought I'd, you know, try and do something that, you know, I thought was a bit more fulfilling. and sort of work on this comic strip. And it's kind of a slow process and try and make it better each time and you know, have something that I can, you know, really say is my own and something that I'm really proud of.
I actually have a theory that that's why all artistic endeavors get done. We're all afraid that we're going to die, and at some point, our life can be summed up in stapled stuff together for other people.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, it's my you know, it's a fledgling stab at immortality, I guess.
Oh, hey, that was quotable. That should we. That's a perfect subtitle for just any of work.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Immortality.
Here's my napkin doodle. That's my immortality.
You know, I actually have 3 napkin doodles up on my pegboard at work. I didn't do them. Someone else did. I was complaining that, you know, my art kind of sucks and I'm mad. And, you know, maybe if I had better stuff or more education. He's like, no, you don't need that for art. And he grabs, I didn't even know this man. He grabs 3 napkins and he does these incredible fucking things on them. And so I have them on my tack board really just to remind myself that I suck and I should practice more.
The three things on these napkins schooling.
In Sharpie marker are better than anything I've ever produced in my life. It's
aww.
Natural talent varies greatly. You don't need to go to school to be a good artist.
You do need to practice.
Well, yeah, practice is part of that. I mean, a school usually will kick your ass and expedite the process that you can do naturally without going to school. But yeah.
And now, speaking of which. Do either one of you have any background in? Now, Steve, obviously yours is a photo comic, so we don't necessarily need to go into artistic background. But do you have any background in writing or blogging or anything like that?
I have no artistic ability whatsoever. I can just barely Photoshop things. I can draw stick figures, but they're not nearly as good as XKCD, which is saying something. As far as writing, up until a few years ago, I never really tried writing any kind of fiction or anything like that. I have written a couple of short stories that were soundly rejected by Asimov's science fiction magazine. I've still got the rejection letters here. It's like cheap photocopies. It's really great. I really don't have any artistic background. I am an engineering nerd.
Which is good enough. Actually, doesn't that naturally make you sarcastic and pithy?
Sarcastic, at least. I don't know about pithy. I don't know. Most of what I write is just stuff that I think about while I'm making my coffee first thing in the morning. And it's like, hey, I should tell somebody about this. So I write it down and put it in little speech bubbles for plastic lobsters sitting in trees.
And what about you, Jeffrey? Do you have any artistic, you know, any specific artistic or writing background?
Not really. I mean, I've been drawing since I was in like grade 3. I started with Garfield and kind of been doing cartooning ever since. But I haven't actually ever taken an art course or anything like that. I sort of struggled between choosing what I should do and choosing what I want to do. And I always ended up choosing what I should do, which ended up with a degree in computer science.
Damn responsibility.
I know, yeah. But I sort of kept drawing. And so that's kind of just so I've kind of just been cartooning ever since. And so that's kind of where I've sort of picked up my abilities just over time.
It's that practice thing.
Yeah. And it's like wanting to do it. It's kind of like, what's what Christopher Hitchens says about passion. It's kind of like he said, you know, people ask him the same question about writing and he says he can't not write. He has something in him that just makes him want to write. And that's kind of similar with me. I can't not, you know, do cartooning. I just seem to really like to do it.
Someone once told me that my obsessive compulsion is not so much that I have to create, that I have to write, but that I have to wag my junk at the universe. That it's not good enough to just be doing it alone in my bedroom and, you know, writing things down for my friends and passing little jokes through email. I need to publish it widely. So, yeah, that's us. We're all skeptically wagging our junk at the universe.
That is true. I agree with that.
Tagline on your comic. Wag is my junk at the universe since 2001.
Yeah. Take that, universe.
Blah, blah, blah. There needs
to be
a
face, universe. Stupid universe.
So anyone out there listening can come up with a great wagging your junk at the universe sound effect. I would be just...
Right?
Robotic junk. That was creepy. I've been told I'm to aim for a break. I don't know how to aim for a break.
Well,
and he's gone away.
No, I didn't go away just yet. I was just trying to be like quiet and like let the conference know that okay, in about 5 minutes, if you got a good wrapping up point, then go for a break versus starting a new topic.
Well, see, this is a good time for a break because then I was just going to start a new topic, and now I'm just rambling on about how to aim for a break.
And we'll be right back.
So take that.
The Webcomic Beacon is hosted on the Rampage Network, a webcomics host and community at rampagenetwork.com. Don't forget that we broadcast our shows live. Tune in on Sundays at 3 p.m. Eastern at webcomicbeacon.com/live. Join our live chat room. Visit our forums for unified discussions on latest topics, collaborations, projects, events, or contests at webcomicbeacon.com/forum.
Oh, waggle noise again.
And we're back. Go ahead. I'll be right back, too.
All right. Yeah, he lies about the breaks, by the way. Now, the other question that I was asked, which I found most of these questions interesting. I think that that we as skeptics and or atheists and generally as people who wish to have our opinions waggled, there's this perception that people must be very upset about us, that we exist and or feel free to express ourselves. Mostly when I got these questions, I just kind of wanted to stare at them blankly and blink a couple of times until they felt stupid enough to walk away. But I'm going to ask anyway, have you ever been turned down for like, if you wanted to put a link or advertising on someone's site, have you ever been turned down for that opportunity because you're a horrible person? Either one of you.
I've never asked.
Maybe I should start there. Do either one of you advertise?
No, I don't advertise. Although with that question, I am contemplating trying to put together an iPhone or iPad application, and I do fear that I eventually will be rejected by Apple.
Does the fact that Foglio was just turned down by Apple like give you pause in even suggesting it?
Well, I sort of, part of it is also I'd like to be turned down. That would make a good blog post.
Rejected by Apple for my views.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be exactly. The best advertising of all.
Yeah, I'm a martyr. So.
How about conventions? Do you actually attend any conventions? If you do, are they more comic inspired conventions, or are they more skeptical or atheist inspired conventions?
Steve? I was at Dragon Con last year and nobody had any clue who I was, so it seemed to work out okay that way. I wasn't actually presenting or anything like that. I was just hanging out, and a couple of people knew me from Skeptic, and that was about it. But no, I don't really go to comic conventions or anything like that. I figured they'd kick me out because I can't draw.
No, they don't. I've been.
and I just realized that I'm probably the only person on this call that has no artistic ability, and I'm really not worthy.
You have writing ability, and I say over and over, that's the biggest thing. You can draw amazing, you know, just have amazing art, and, you know, writing about your cat is not going to cut it. So, unless your cat's really fucking hilarious, and then maybe, but...
I don't know. I think I'd like a web comic that's just, what did my cat do today?
I think really it would only work if it was written by Allie from Hyperbole and a Half. That's the only way cat antics could in any way like amuse me enough. What about you, Jeffrey? Do you do the comic circuit or any conventions?
Actually, no. I'm kind of brand new to the whole comic web comic convention type thing. I went to the Emerald City Comic Con because I'm in Seattle, but only as a guest, not even a guest, just
attendee.
As an attendee. Yeah. Just to see what it was like, and but it's so I'm kind of thinking I'm still at the stage of where I want to focus my, you know, where I want to which audience I want to sort of try and go after, whether it's the more skeptical audience, like I don't know if you go to atheist conventions or the James Randi's Amazing Meetings or things like that, and sell a couple books, or if, you know, the Comic Cons are also you know, an avenue for it. You know, I'm so new to this. I'm still trying to figure it out.
Figure out the market.
Yeah, figure out, you know, who would, you know, who's more interested in it. You know, is it, you know, and kind of see where it goes, and from there, you know.
Do either one of you have any feel as to whether, you know, the fans of your comics are more the skeptical community, or is it, do you feel like you're leaking over into just webcomic land in general? And is that even a goal?
Well, according to one of these statistics sites, most of the people who read my comic are college age men with no college degree. I don't know what that means. I have no idea who's actually reading it. It seems to be a lot of people who you stumble upon and read it, from what I can tell. But yeah, I don't know whether they're skeptical community or if they just like the Star Wars stuff that I do now and then.
Well, don't
okay,
you get any sort of like
comments?
What about
you, Jeffrey? Do you have any feeling of...
I honestly, it's sort of like Steve, I honestly have no idea. And I honestly have no idea how to even look up whether people have college degrees who are reading my website.
Quantcast is a great stat site.
I think it was Alexa that I was using.
Alexa's okay. Quantcast gives you like how much money they make every year and whether or not they have kids. And it's kind of creepy. It's a little Orwellian, but it really helps with merch. I know now that I shouldn't sell baby bibs. You know, like, that's my, none of my readers have children or apparently ever want them because they're mostly like toward their late 20s, early 30s. What are your plans for the future? Where do you see this going? Where do you hope this goes? We'll start with that, and then we'll, you know, add some skeptical reality. Steve,
I don't know. I've got, you know, at least 10 more comics in the pipeline, so I guess I'm going that far.
No, we're supposed to introduce reality later. This is dream inspiration and stars.
Tell us your pipe dream.
Pipe dream? Jeez.
Engineers don't smoke.
I don't know. Maybe Comedy Central will buy the right to Tree Lobsters and give me $1 million to shut up, and then I can retire.
That'd be cool. Okay, so now reality, we know that at least 10 more strips.
least that. I keep thinking I'm going to run out of ideas, but something stupid always comes up in the news, and
I was going to say, that's one of the good things, though, about having a skeptically oriented comic is that there will always be someone stupid doing something stupid and trying to sell it to other people.
Yeah, I mean, when I first started out on this, I think it was Sam on Skeptic, Sam Ogden, I think is his name, used the term steaming pile of dumb as being the general state of things in the world, and yet he's got a point. And basically, I'm just sampling off of that steaming pile and using the material, and that seems to work quite well.
All right, so what's your pipe dream, Jeffrey?
My pipe dream? I don't know. I think if there's if I can get those statistics sites going, if there's any extravagant billionaires that are my target, I can make some expensive merchandise for them to buy. But I think for now it's kind of a slow progression of just, you know, get enough comics together and then find some time and maybe I can get a book out of it and start selling the book and sort of see where it goes from there. I think sort of I'm kind of going more of a, you know, organic evolutionary type process, kind of see where it goes.
That always scares me a little bit. I'm enough of a control freak. Basically, my logic and my need for control battle it out because I tell myself things like, with the organic evolution, if I just create something, then it will find its niche and, you know, be sheltered and have food and stay away from predators, and that's the way it works. And I know the way that works. And then the other part of me says, no, I must find the niche and hollow it out and burn it down. It's very human. and, you know... Sorry, I lost my mic. And build up the concrete walls to keep the things out and build a mini mall and those type of things. But where do you get your... Do you actively search for ideas, or do they come to you through, you know, routes you're already sort of in? Steve, I know, you know, you mentioned that you're a part of the Skeptic forums frequently, and is it through blogs and things that you're already reading that you get these ideas? Do you actively, basically what I'm getting at is, do you troll religious and or pseudoscientific crap sites?
Oh, no, nothing like that.
Does it just come to you naturally?
If I try to come up with an idea, like work at it, it always comes out wrong. It's like, I need to write about this concept and try to get through there, and I always end up with crap. If, on the other hand, I'm, you know, just let my mind wander while I'm making my coffee in the morning, something will come up and it's like, hey, I can use that. And those work a lot better. I don't really try to over-engineer them. It's like, okay, I've got a bunch of dialogue. I need to carve it up into four panels and then put a punchline at the end. That works. Okay. yeah. Most of the time, it's just what comes to me. But yeah, no, I don't go out and look for stuff. Sometimes I'll think, you know, I had this idea a few years ago. Maybe I can turn that into a joke. And that's about as far as I go for trying to construct something.
Does it depress you at all that ideas that you had a few years ago might still be relevant when it comes to, like, the world of woo?
The world of woo.
I mean, you know... Gullibility is eternal. Somebody still believes something that somebody believed thousands of years ago, hundreds of years ago. It's never going to go away.
So
the only thing is they dress it up and slap a new dust jacket on it and call it something new.
And in some cases, not even that. Like, you know, Sylvia Brown still tours. We all need to remember that. That's like my driving force right there behind a number of things is that some people who should have long ago, I would have hoped, fallen off the scene are still making money hand over fist.
And that's kind of the part of the thing that motivates me about that comic is when you read when you read about Sylvia Brown and Montel Williams and all these sort of charlatans who you know bilk people out of your money, that they're free to do it. You know, in a free society, they're free to do it. So the only way you can get back at them for, you know, hurting these people is by, you know, exposing them and mocking them, you know,
and ridicule.
That's the only, you know, that's really kind of the only way to do it. And so that, you know, that's kind of something that motivates me, you know, to do my comic is the, you know, making fun of these people.
So we're intellectual superheroes now. I will combat you with this pen, and
I know.
Do you get the feeling it's working?
No.
Well, I do have to say that I am interested in putting together at least looking into putting together a show where we had to have religious comics on.
Oh God, you're gonna must be, right?
Well, here's the thing on the web.
My ass off and throw me in a room.
Here's the thing. You know, on the web comics beacon, I totally believe in giving fair voice to everybody. While that doesn't usually elicit so many invites, but you know, I like to hear both sides of an issue, so to speak. And there are some people out there, you know, that like whatever religion is out there that maybe make like a Christian comic, a pagan comic that's non-controversial on purpose. And just is, but I don't know if there's any like, you know, Christian controversial comics like back at the nerdy wells. I don't know, what the hell do you call bad people that aren't religious?
Heathens.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know, because I received a letter letting me know that I am one. Yeah.
I mean, because it's like, you know, it's like there are like certain like, you know, misconceptions that everybody has about other people. But then again, you know, it's like if I want to go put a Darwin like sticker or icon thing on my car, mm-hmm. and I park it next to a person who has a Jesus fish on their car, you know, who's more likely to get vandalized? Me with the Darwin sticker on it, you know?
Well, yeah.
I mean,
I think it comes down. Yeah. See, but he's not. He's a pantheist.
What the fuck? What?
Aren't you a Wiccan? Isn't that pantheism?
I'm not Wiccan. I'm.
What are you?
I'm what? No, Wiccan is like New Age paganism or whatever.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't realize there's a rift.
No, there's okay. Like there's tons of different like sects and paths in paganism. Yeah. But right now, I consider myself an agnostic pagan.
Okay.
If that makes sense.
Well, okay, they're atheistic Jews, so I'll totally give you a pass for agnostic paganism. That's fine.
Yeah. I mean, I there's a lot of good morals and values in paganism in general. And, but I can't ascribe to any, subscribe
Here,
to any
Here's what you need
thing.
To know before you set up any sort of religious guess. Just the last sentence or two that came out of your mouth, my blood pressure has risen.
What? What was the last, what did I say?
The thing about there's a lot of good ethics and morals in paganism.
Yeah.
I immediately just want to start screaming, and there's a lot of good ethics and moralism in your genes. It has nothing fucking to do with your background and your religion. And like, I go on rants and I scream at people, and then they call me an asshole and key my car. That's how that happens.
Hey, all I know is that Christianity is based off of paganism. That's all I know.
Oh, God.
See, I'm stirring that water, too.
I can hyperventilate. That's holy crap.
Okay. Stephen
Jeffrey, do you I recognize and I in no way spread this label upon either of you. I recognize I'm an uncontrolled asshole when it comes to certain things. I freak out on people and use horrible phrases that make them actually stop a minute before they decide how to be angry at me. And
I just
do
want to
you
give
find
you
yourself having these reactions? Are you calmer and rational, more rational than I am apparently capable of? And you like go home and think and then write a post or a comic? Or do you scream at people publicly? I'm curious.
I am passively sarcastic. I think it's my Canadian background there. But Yeah, I mean, I try to, you know, hold my tongue in public and at work and stuff like that. And, you know, I hear people talking about 2012 at the next cubicle and
oh God,
bizarre stuff. I mean, just completely wrong. And I just sit there and I say, it doesn't matter, it doesn't matter. And I go home and write a comic.
And you would find me weeping in a corner at the end of the day. I don't know. I don't know how to do that.
I find it best just to roll my eyes and maybe scoff with somebody else that believes the same thing as I do if they happen to be nearby. Unfortunately, that's not usually the case. But usually I just roll my eyes and, like, you know, sigh heavily and walk away. That usually works for me because, you know, just because I'm pagan doesn't mean I'm going to get into it with
everybody else. It's your pagan morals.
Well, no, see, here's the thing, you know. I was raised Roman Catholic. So that's got
so
that going
for
me.
You already hate yourself.
No.
You already have guilt. Trust me, I was too. It's all a lot of guilt.
Well, you know, Roman Catholic is nearly atheist.
Okay.
Oh, this is good. Wait, no, go for this. I like this. Where does this go?
Well, most of them don't actually believe, you know.
Well, not if they're on Craggy Island and they're like Father Ted's.
You know, at least that's what Baptists tell me.
Oh, okay. Now I understand. I was waiting. I knew there was something coming. I'm like, wait, what?
Well, the other reason, well, other than this, like, as far as religions go, I find various paganism religions to be, well, cooler. I also like holding on to the tag pagan, also just to bother people if it happens to, you know, just to cause trouble, you know, sometimes. because it's not like I'm like a practicing a witch or anything. I mean, I still have various beliefs here and there of this and that, but nothing that's really going to like be a bother to any. Because one of the first things I learned was you basically don't push your beliefs onto anybody else. Which, yeah, totally. So if I harked on somebody, that'd be, well, stupid anyway. But aside from that, I just like, you know, the potential of confrontation. You know, I'm pagan. It's like, well, then I'll see how they react, and if they're going to react all high and mighty. Well, this is someone I'm not going to want to have to associate with, so.
So you basically use it as a litmus test for possible association.
That's one of my litmus tests.
It's one of many. He has a list, and he just checks them off one at a time. And if you pass, you might be friends.
I mean, there's been
not an evangelical pagan, right?
I want to see. That's what I need a comic of. Is anyone listening? Evangelical pagan.
I know that's a good one. I haven't done any. I don't have any pagan characters in my comic. I'll have to do some research.
That's an oxymoron. It's like a gay Republican.
No, they claim to exist. I think they're like, you know.
Or I should say, I should be more specific. A gay conservative.
Yeah.
Yeah. There we go.
That seems to me like an oxymoron.
No, we're gonna get a lot of mail for this episode of the Webcomic Beacon.
As long as the gay conservative Republicans are also Roman Catholic, it's okay because they've been taught to hate themselves and therefore put themselves in a situation where they're punishing their own kind.
Send all hate mail to Tony Pagans. Well, I think we need to take a break right now so that we can move on. And we'll be right back.
Have news, questions, comments, or advertising inquiries? Transmit them to webcomicbeacon@gmail.com or dial 1-320-310-0922.
You want to have religionists on the show with me?
Did you say religionists?
Yes. That's exactly what I said. If you know what, honestly, if you're offended by the term religionists, you really don't fucking want to have them on the show with me. That was vanilla. That was benign. I'm a horrible person. Haven't you heard?
Damn you.
All I know is that when the show gets a little bit more drama, our numbers go up. And
so basically, you're going to use my angst and blood pressure to raise our numbers the same way you use pagan as a litmus test for friendship.
Well, it's not even friendship. It's whether or not I want to associate with them.
Snappy dressers doesn't mean I agree with their policy.
They were snappy dressers. Those uniforms were tight.
There was this one guy that I worked with at work that...
Good. Yeah.
We were like absolute opposites. Like he was very, you know, very Christian and everything, and he's like one of those very like positive, happy, just the really annoying happy ones that are not confrontational to you at all. They're not like angry at you or anything. They're just happy and everything. It's like, so that kind of pisses me off. But he's really nice, you know, everything, and he does good things, and it's like, you know, I can't, you know, hate this guy, but we wouldn't be able to get along at all, but we got along well enough at work, and we talked about stuff all the time. So I can easily be friends with people of not what I believe in.
See, this is what you have to remember, okay? I was a fundamentalist Christian at one point, and what you're describing is something known as personality witness. It's a contrived plot, I kid you not. They teach you that whenever you're in public, in a public place with people who might not agree with you, so, you know, when you're not at church, you're supposed to continuously be happy. That if you ever show any sadness or anger or anything like that, people won't see the light of Jesus shine through you.
You're so full of crap.
I'm not. I will bring you the fucking pamphlet.
So sort of like that creepy guy on 30 Rock?
Exactly.
Oh, okay.
Okay, no. Get this. Okay, he once made a phone call from work. He needed to make a call for, like, his car insurance or something like that. Uh-huh. And I don't know what this guy was thinking when he was doing this, but he is, like, one of these nice, happy guys and everything, but he can totally, totally joke with everything. And he was calling up, and he was asking questions, and he was referring to me as his gay lover, and all this other crap. It was like the most craziest stuff. I was like, are you actually saying that? I wouldn't even say that. Holy crap!
Oh, in that case, he's schizophrenic.
Well, I just think he has a really great sense of humor. I mean, really. I mean, I wouldn't even do that. And they're like, this guy's awesome.
It's also possible he's just a really nice guy who also happens to be minorly deluded. I mean, okay, we can have those people, and that's good. At least they're nice about it.
Yeah. And if there's anybody out there that'd be interested in, I guess, sending us hate mail or maybe a counterpoint episode, I'll think about it. But you can email us at webcomicbeacon@gmail.com. And now, first off, today... we got to look at who's advertising on our site on our Project Wonderful ads. Because
nobody now.
Next week.
No, that's why I'm checking it out before they. Yeah. Let's see. Right now we have a Samurai Princess having our leaderboard, and that's at samuraiprincess.com. And this is a milestone, but we'll go into milestones next. We have, what is it? Toxie's 1/8 Universe or such at Zed's Joe site.
I love when you read the advertisements.
But some of them are weird.
You're slightly unbelieving of what you're seeing.
It's like, why'd you come up with that name? And last but not least, we have a banner at the bottom of every one of our posts. And as soon as the page refreshes, I can see who's currently bidding on it. But, yeah. So, fuck you. Reload.
Anyway.
Reload.
and stuff and junk.
Okay, we have hang on, I gotta make sure the Ustream doesn't start playing. Okay, there we go. And also next up we have Beware the Slumpy at bewaretheslumpy.com. In Russia, Slumpy bewares you is the tagline. Okay, here, and let's just go over some of the milestones we have this week. In fact, 1/8 Universe is second anniversary on May 25th. It's coming up, and I'm just going to mention it now because they're also advertising. And also we have Yosh of YoshSaga.com has reached 900 comics, so congratulations on that. We also have a milestone of Troops of Doom at TroopsOfDoomComic.com. It's 200 comics. And no, that's our database backup. Wrong email. Okay, and so that's it for the milestones this week. Let's check our chat room. So far, our chat rooms have been, Yusu one has been pretty active, actually. And mostly people complaining about stuff. I think mostly Jason complaining. I don't know who Sleepy Kicks is, but it sounds like he's somebody that somebody knows in here. And also John Peters is in the chat room as well from Gypsy Girl Press. Oh, speaking of which, I'll try to get this in the show notes. There's a guy that does a webcomic called Freaks and Squeaks, who I was helping. If anybody remembers Glitch from Life of Glitch and other things like that, I forget her website, but she used to be pretty big on the web for a while until she started really digging her nose back into college. And so basically she sent out a message and she needed some help inking her final project. She had permission. And so I was like one of 10 people that showed up to help her ink her final project. And I only ended up black splatting like, you know, one page, but there's like 9 other people there doing lines, trees, rocks, shrubbery, and and other black splatting too. So that was cool. And then I was on his podcast, which is, you know, like a little podcast that that he just does, I think, with his brother. But let's see if I can and figure it out. Yeah, Patrick Lewandowski from freaksandsqueaks.com. There's a podcast he does. And so I was on there for a while and we're talking about stuff. And he has a Kickstarter that I will post a link in the show notes about it. And also Glitch works with the people that do TVTV or Transylvania Television, which recently got picked up with That Guy in the Glasses. And they also have a Kickstarter, so I'll be linking a few Minnesota Kickstarters here after the show, so people can check that out, because I said I would, so I will. I'm a man of my word, damn it.
I don't know, apparently Minnesota's xenophobic.
What? Says who? We're usually a blue state.
No, wait.
Which means
that's
that
because
we're usually,
it's coal.
We're usually liberal.
That's the weirdest.
We're usually fairly liberal. What are you talking about?
I'm not saying you're Republican.
Which usually means you know, blue state, liberal, you're more accepting
state,
of other people.
See, it was like patriotism for your own. Never mind.
Whatever.
Move on.
Yeah, well, there's nothing wrong with having patriotism for your own whatever, state. As long as you're not a douche. But
don't be a douche.
Yeah, don't
wait,
be a douche.
It's Will Wheaton's law. Don't be a dick.
That's not his law. That's been I've been saying that before he was around.
It doesn't matter. He's cooler.
Fuck that.
Shut up, Wesley!
And we've lost Fess again.
Can we just get like 2 big stone tablets with Don't Be a Dick written down 10 times on it? We think that would work really well.
Dude, somebody make that.
That would be great. That would have been way more effective than the other 27. By the way, original commandments. What?
Dude, I need to see that in a comic form somewhere now. I need to see that.
They must have been on the original tablets that Moses smashed. So God made a bunch of
the vulgar.
He didn't tablets. Smash. No. He tripped and fell.
The you original now, ones I, were all full of dove killing and goats and stuff, just like the second ones. Really weird.
It's like Moses knew that those rules sucked, so he smashed them to destroy the evidence and made up his own.
It was really convincing. And clearly you can just really convincingly trip and smash things without God knowing, because he was still lost in the garden trying to find Adam and Eve. So he's capable of being tricked. So it's all right.
We have a comment in the chat room, Ustream chat room, saying, Minnesota, only state never to have voted for Reagan.
Oh, hey.
Hooray
you know
for
what?
Mondale.
Damn him and his woman.
I was just watching a video today that had Geraldine Ferraro in it.
Really?
And it was really fascinating. It was one of those, I think I've talked about it before, those Fred Friendly seminars, Ethics in America. And they had Alan Simpson of Wyoming, Senator Simpson, was in there too.
Wow. I have this peculiar thing where when people drop off my radar, I assume they've died.
I do that too.
I'm always a little surprised when I hear about them again. I'm they're still alive. That's cool.
Well, we give them the benefit of the doubt.
It was made in 88.
So. Oh, so it could be dead.
Yeah. Well, P.G. Jennings was in. Sad.
He's dead, right?
Yeah. Well, you give people the benefit of the doubt by assuming that they've died for not talking to you.
It's that you've clearly died.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so because for all those people whose webcomics I no longer read, I apologize. I assume you're dead.
Yeah.
Well, thanks.
Think of it like this. It's like, what if you don't hear from somebody for a long time, and then you get all like pissed off, oh, gee, what the hell happened to them, and those assholes, and then you find out that they died, and then you're like, oh, crap.
Yeah, see, I start the other way, where I'm like, oh, God, they died, and I grieve a little bit, and then I get a letter out of the blue, and I'm like, yeah, you're still alive. It's just the optimistic way.
So they were just an asshole.
I feel that way about actors, like, you know, isn't Ernest Borgnine dead by now? And then, like, next week I'll hear that he just died.
And you're like, oh.
And I feel guilty. I'm like, oh, no, I must have brought it on him.
Well, see, that's where you can read Tree Lobsters and Ape Not Monkey to reassure yourself that you have none of these magical powers to bring about the death of old, old celebrities.
I think Alan Hale, the skipper, was that way, too. I was like, yeah, didn't he die? Wasn't he? And then it was like a week later, Alan Hale Jr., the skipper on Gilligan's Island, passed away. I felt all kinds of bad.
Which, speaking of,
I sort of predicted, I don't know.
Speaking of Reagan, I've seen billboard signs with him in a cowboy outfit, just like his smiling face looking up to the sky, and it says, remember a time of real change? And I was like, what? Who? There's like
billboard. I remember that we had to go get boxes of food. That's what I remember about the Reagan era. Was like not having anything to eat.
There's no credit on the billboard. I don't know who did it.
Was your vegetable.
Yeah.
Ketchup was your vegetable in school.
But didn't Reagan die?
You know, didn't Reagan die? Yeah, he did, didn't he? Yeah, now I'm confused.
So did Ford and Nixon. They're all gone now.
Nancy's still alive and consulting her tarot reader, astrologer, or whatever it was.
Gerald Ford's dead?
Yeah, Gerald Ford died not too long ago.
He was cool.
Yeah.
So we have Carter.
He was funny.
Clinton.
Yeah, Carter's still around. Clinton's around. Bush
and the unfortunate
Sabbath Truths.
The other two are still around. So there's four. Four ex-presidents.
And this has been our episode of Presidents Remembered. Right here.
Dude, is fucking Lincoln dead? God damn it.
Yeah, for a while.
Too soon?
Something in the news about that.
Too soon, yeah. Yeah, that wound's still open, Fez.
Oh, damn it.
You know, I have to confess, I'm a big Richard Nixon junkie. Richard Nixon's one of my favorite presidents, and I
you'd have to be high to have Nixon.
I know. I named one of the characters in my comic strip after one of his aides. One of his aides was named H.R. Halderman, and I named a character that does. He's sort of the charlatan who sells all the snake oil and magical water and stuff. And I named him HR. A little homage to that.
That was nice. I didn't pick up on that. I'm a little ashamed of myself now.
Aww.
He's one of my favorite characters because he knows he's full of crap.
Exactly. And
I like to believe I have this weird juxtaposition in my mind where, depending on how rich the charlatan is, I need them to either not believe their bullshit or to believe their bullshit. So, like, if it's some chick down the street who's trying to sell me magical pet massage, and I know that she's got like three kids and she's just some working mom, I want to believe deep inside that she's not aware of her crap. Like,
exactly,
she
buys
it, you know? She swallowed it, and she thinks she has magic hands. Great. I can deal with you deluded. Just don't be that much of a dick. But once you get to a certain level, I need you to be aware that you're a dick. Like, John Edwards needs to know he's a dick. In my world, he can't be that deluded and still be on the street.
Well, apparently his mistress thought he had one anyway, or was one.
Was one. No, wrong guy.
Oh. John Edwards?
Yeah, no, I'm talking about the one that talks to dead people.
Oh, never mind.
Well, I'm sure there's a graph somewhere where you know, the richer you get, the more you start to realize you're a fraud.
I want to be there for that brilliant point for one person, you know, as they're sitting on the street corner and they're just reading tarot cards for people, right? And the people come in and they're giving them money, and then the next thing you know, they're in the paper and they're super famous, and all these people are like, oh, their insights are amazing. And then someday in the middle of the night, one night they're sleeping in their bed and they just sit bolt upright and go, oh God, I'm conning people. And then they have to decide. They have to decide right then and there, like, well, I could come forward and tell people that this was all the insight from their own minds, and I was just feeding it to them in a way that they were able to pick up their own nuances, or I could shut up and keep making money.
It sounds like what Rupert Murdoch did with Fox News.
Tanya, I think you underestimate people's ability to rationalize their own bullshit.
I might.
I stopped having faith in people a long time ago. I think it was 2000. It was 2004.
It was 2004. People suck. Yeah.
I try so hard.
I've worked in retail long enough. I've learned to hate people.
It
makes you hate people.
I still
want to
believe
at Christmas. It makes you hate people, especially at Christmas. You hate people.
Yeah.
People get mean at Christmas, even meaner than usual, which is very strange.
Well, it's because it's a holiday about loving and redemption.
They get meaner and more selfish at Christmas time and treat people like crap at Christmas time. It's very strange, but it's true.
There's a study, and again, I don't know that I buy it, but there was a study done that they registered stress levels in men in shopping malls on Christmas Eve, and supposedly it was very similar to stress levels of fighter pilots actively engaged in combat.
I believe it. What employees
it's
are
a very
customers.
Similar situation. I mean, you're basically doing seek and destroy type operation.
I've never been in a situation shopping like that where I have to compete for. It's like if I go shopping around the holidays, I'm looking around. I'm not. If I want something, I'll order it off a line like an intelligent person, you know.
Ahead of time.
I wanted to get back to something real quick before we end the show. If people go to webcomicbeacon.com/art. You can check out all the different types of artistic works that listeners and guests have done for the show. And what we've been doing with the occasion of using the guest art, we've been going through the art that has been used for the Wagon Webcomic Battle trading card game, particularly the Webcomic Beacons podcast card. And we're getting right up to the last couple of those. And I think, oh no! Maybe the one after PangoCon will be the actual winner, but I think Steve, you drew one up for this episode.
Yeah, but it kind of sucks because I can't draw.
Well, is it possible to remove the speech balloon?
I could do that, I guess.
Okay, because then I can.
Are you sure you want to use it? It wasn't very good.
Well, I can use it no matter what. It'll be a testament. But
you'll make it happen.
Okay, I'll send another copy.
Yeah. Well, I'll use the other one and I'll put that in the art section. But yeah. So there's that. So everyone can check that out. So me bringing this up mostly means that we're running out. So if there's anybody out there that would like to submit their own art for fun or something like that, their own version of Becky, that'd be cool. Speaking of Becky, Becky's wearing a shirt with a cool little radio signal logo on it. And this shirt will be available in black and just a couple other colors in short supply at PenguinCon. And you can find out more about PenguinCon at penguincon.org. It's an awesome general geek convention that started as Linux Convention. It's in April 30th to May 2nd in Troy, Michigan at the Marriott. And the webcomic presence has been increasing a lot in the past couple of years, as far as I am understanding. Webcomic Beacon will be there. All three of us will be there. And yeah. T-shirts will be for sale. So come and check that out, and we'll see how that goes.
And, Mark has snazzy T-shirts, too.
Mark has snazzy T-shirts.
Oh, I will.
Tanya has controversial T-shirts.
that I need to get rid of. So look for me on Sunday just saying, please take a goddamn T-shirt and just throwing them at people.
Well, maybe we can like sell them as a bundle.
You need like one of those air cannons at the stadium, you know, where they fire a T-shirt to people, and you could just get rid of them that way and have the fun of bopping people in the head at the same time. That would be awesome. Stand up on a balcony.
It is amazing how when you have one of those little air cannons, they will take any piece of shit that comes out of it just because it's like they won a prize. Yay, it came to me!
Well, I just want to be hit by one and be like, yeah, did you see that? Attention's on me. I don't care what it's in there. What's this, a Hannah Montana shirt? Yeah, I'll just throw it away, but yeah, whoo!
But take one to a Tea Party convention and get rid of your shirts that way and hit them in the head at the same time.
Baseball, what I need are about 24 people who will wear a shirt that has the word vagina on it. That's what I need, and they don't exist.
Well, we'll try to make it happen. I'll try to be a salesperson at this convention. We'll see how well this goes, and I'll probably end up making you very uncomfortable. But we'll see how it works. And so that's it for the Webcomic Beacon this week. And and also, I do apologize to anybody who was offended from last episode's podcast. But it was fun, so fuck you.
Or this one.
I don't. Don't be a pussy.
So this week we've had Steve of TreeLobsters.com with us. Thanks for coming to the show.
You're quite welcome. Great pleasure. Lots of fun.
Awesome. And we've also had Jeffrey of apenotmonkey.com. Thanks for coming.
Great. Thanks a lot.
This has been Fest of PSIwebcomic.com.
And this is Mark of autumnlake.com.
And this is Tanya of daisiesandshit.com.
That's all for now. Tune in next time at webcomicbeacon.com.
Sweet glory, why do you do this to me?
Because it's fun.